Welcome to another episode of We're Disappointed, the show where two average folk talk about things in media, in society, in life that tend to be disappointing.
So, we've experienced some surprisingly good TV recently. Mm-hmm. And so, I thought that it might be kind of neat for us to examine what makes that TV good and they kind of what people could learn from that to make stories in general better. So first thing that comes to mind is what we just finished watching, which was Castlevania. I'm honestly really excited that it's over officially, because then that means that it ends on a high note. And we don't have to worry about it going down the toilet later on because the writers aren't sure what the fuck to do mm-hmm. anymore. So, when we were watching it, I was telling you, oh, I don't remember this, or I don't remember that, or, things like that. So, clearly, it's been a while since I've watched the first seasons, but you did kind of, a rewatch, at least part of the way, before you got into the fourth season. Yeah. So, I was just wondering if you wanted to chat a little bit about kind of the arcs that you saw and why they were satisfying.
If I can remember.
Because you remember more than I do.
If I can remember. I got through seasons 1 and 2 before I was just fuck it, let me watch 4. I started 3. Of course, there's spoilers, so be aware. I feel the biggest changes were from Isaac and Hector, and they were both super satisfying to me. Isaac was just a total misanthrope. He hated humans. It's he had good reason. He was essentially a slave and his master was a piece of shit. And Hector was very off. I don't know if he was supposed to have some kind of mental thing going on, but he was very disconnected from everything. And in 4, well, 3 was a segue season where you could see for Hector, there was the blowback of his choices in season 2. And then for Isaac, it was him having to widen his scope of things. He traveled the world and he had to actually deal with these people who he was so willing to condemn to death in season 2. Mm-hmm. And his perspective definitely broadened. And in 4, I feel that came to a head where he saw people were not just the sum of the terrible things that he went through. It was more nuanced than that. There are good people. There are different ways of thinking, ways of being, ways of doing things. And it seemed like he was more willing to just give people a chance. And then Hector, oh, you have something to say?
Well, I was just going to say, and he just seemed at least from what I remember in the prior seasons, he was just so focused on destruction. He couldn't really even think beyond that, it seemed, other than, destruction and revenge. Mm-hmm. And, so then in, the fourth season, he was starting to think about, oh, there's something else I can do other than that. And it's actually way more fulfilling.
I feel that's tied to also his the slavery background, because he seemed mm-hmm. He traded one master for another with throwing his lot behind Dracula the way he did. And he was just really gung-ho, enthusiastic, here's someone I can follow who I don't fucking hate. But with Dracula gone, it's he had to find his own purpose and his own way of thinking. And he totally did that. And I really liked it. And then Hector.
Sorry, I just also really all of his monster pals. I just wanted to say that.
The devil man one that he was obviously fucking.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the aesthetic of his monsters was better than Hector's. I don't know why. I just liked his, maybe because most of them had wings. And then there was the fly guy that he actually had conversations with.
Yeah, well, I feel and it might have just been that the show didn't give us
I feel he talked to him in the second one.
A glimpse of that. What do you mean?
In the last season. That's when he made him. And I feel he talked to him also then.
Are you talking him being Fly Guy?
Yeah.
Okay, but what I was saying was that maybe the show just didn't give us examples of Hector talking with his creations. But it seemed weird, and I don't know if it was a difference between Isaac and Hector, where Isaac seemed to forge those sorts of bonds with his creations, whereas Hector seemed to be completely disconnected. And so it was maybe that had, if that was the case, that Isaac was more willing to have those bonds with his creations, then maybe that is why his creations were so different, because he was thinking about creating them as individuals.
I feel like him talking to the creations came from him just learning to talk to people, because like he did that whole speech with the tools, and it seemed like he was seeing them as more than just the tools. Like that was like a sign of growth for him also. But with Hector, I feel like they showed him, like they didn't really show Isaac forging anything in season two. They focused more on Hector, and I feel like Hector, he probably had a similar mindset all throughout, where they were like essentially just pets to him. But there was that moment in this last season where he did like approach one with compassion that surprised me. I was like, what's going on here? Like he brought in the dead body. I think it had like an arrow in the brain or
Oh,
something.
right, like in his eyeball.
Yeah. And then when he changed it, he like talked to it and he was like, okay, take a breath. This is going to be your new life now. And the go with those guys are going to set you up and tell you what you're supposed to do. But it's like, I guess now they have time to do this because they're doing it on their own. Like I know he was working with under Carmilla, but she wasn't really like focusing on like she wasn't over his shoulder, and he like probably didn't care about trying to prove himself to her or getting her to look at him the way that he probably did with Dracula, where they were just trying to churn out a lot. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's part of, I guess that doesn't really fit. Hold on, I got a plane. I wish I didn't live in an airplane path, but then I don't know what I would do if I didn't, because I've always lived in an airplane path.
Are you used to the sounds now?
Yeah. Where I lived as a kid, there was airplanes all the time too. So it's like, if I feel like if I lived somewhere where there were no airplanes, it would be too quiet and it would drive me crazy. But I'm trying to remember, like trying to pin down Hector's path. Like I feel that like they tell you pretty much like he grew up some, but I can't pinpoint off the top of my head what ways he grew up. Like I agree with the statement, I just can't put it into words, like how he grew up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's tough for me to do that too, because there's a lot that I don't remember from the first seasons. But it just it seemed to me that he became wiser. He wasn't as easy to just trust blindly. He essentially orchestrated his escape. And he didn't just place his life and his trust in the hands of, what's that girl's name? Lenore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she burned him too bad for him to do that, though. But I guess he did learn from it rather than, like you said, just following along with what she wanted him to do.
And even heavy spoilers, but she's like, oh, well, I've dealt with captivity for 5 hours now, so I'm gonna kill myself. He said no, but then he just lets it happen. He's like, I just feel that he was ready to be on his own. He's like, no, I'm gonna have my own life. I don't need to tie myself to anyone anymore.
Yeah, like that, both of them, I feel they both benefited really well from Dracula dying because they had to become their own people. Like, I don't know how they were existing before him, that they both latched on to him so securely. I guess it wasn't great.
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head when you talked about Isaac getting away from his abusive enslaver, and then almost kind of okay, I'm following someone that I actually like, but still following someone, still kind of unable to break out of that mental state almost. And then Hector just always seemed kind of like a lost puppy. He's just kind of following around.
Yeah, well, he's just flopping around. But like I was gonna say with Isaac, there's like a break in time where they don't explain what he was doing between, because like with his slaver, he killed his slaver, and then he's with Dracula. But when Dracula came upon him, I think he was by himself,
Okay,
and
yeah, see, I don't
it was
remember.
like a good couple of years. Like he was like a kid when the slaver thing happened. But
Well, I
yeah,
mean, it may not have been enough time still for him to break out of that
I
mentality.
know. I mean, out of the mentality, I'm just saying like. The way you phrased it seemed like you meant like he was directly with the slave. He jumped immediately from the slaver to Dracula.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the timelines that I remember.
Okay. Yeah, so I wanted to clarify that bit. But yeah, that was really good. I don't know how to put it into words. Like I'll just say it this way. I'm glad Alucard seemed like he has a happy ending.
Yeah, he deserved it. Poor boy.
Like his whole thing was like, I guess his arc was like, I don't really need anyone. I'm this weird, what do they call it? Demphyr or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm by myself. Oh, here are these two assholes. I don't want, he was very tsundere about it. It's like, I don't really like you, but he loved them.
Yeah.
And he let them go and he was losing his mind. And then in the end, they end up together again.
Yeah, and it's just like I don't know. It's just he had lots of instances of him opening himself up, attempting to belong someplace, and then having that violently taken away from him.
Yes,
And
with
so
them and
it
with the
with
twins and
like
all that.
exactly. So it's just like it's so heartbreaking how even after being hurt those times. And even with his own actual family, that kind of messed up sort of relationship dynamic there. It's like all of the times that he's opened himself up and he has been hurt extraordinarily, he still retains the ability at the end. Like even though he tried to say that he couldn't, that he didn't need it, he was just gonna be by himself. Like he still opened up at the end, and now he finally has his found family for forever.
It was really good. I don't think they could have did it better than that.
I'm a sucker for found family tropes, honestly. Like I'm very down with that.
What about Trevor? I guess it's also similar with him losing his family and then finding his own family again.
Yeah. Honestly, he's probably one of the least interesting ones of the main crew for me. I mean, I still like him a lot, but and I was glad that he survived, very glad. But I was more glad that he survived because of what he represented to the other characters.
I agree. What about Sypha?
I mean, I like her a lot too.
I mean, did she undergo a whole lot? I feel like not really. Like she had to experience the world in a different way than her family would have had her doing it if she stayed with them. And she picked up a lot of Trevor's bad habits.
She did, very much so.
I appreciated that. But as far as like
Yeah.
a character development kind of standpoint, I can't really see anything. Airplane. You can talk. I just gotta stop.
Okay. I agree that she didn't have as obvious an arc as some of the other characters. But I appreciate just her part in that whole found family aspect. Like they just all work so well together. It's just like a
Yeah.
pleasure to see them all.
I feel it's very hard to do chemistry in writing, especially with that many characters. Like people fuck it up with two characters. And
Yeah, that's true.
they had to juggle these three and they still made it work. But yeah, it was super satisfying. I could see myself watching it like once a year, if not more.
Well, and then the surprise resolution to an arc with Dracula and what's his wife's name? Lisa?
Yes. Yeah, I was like,
Like
what the hell is this?
I was so happy though.
It came out of nowhere.
It did. It was very much appreciated, though. I was just like, yes. What is that meme? Like, my skin is clear, my crops are watered.
Yeah.
For me, what makes it kind of like all of this together, what makes this so satisfying is like what we've been talking about with the satisfying character arcs and character development, where like you can see these people grow over the course of time. And I think most importantly, a happy ending. Like everyone got a happy ending. I was like, yay.
Oh, I was talking to. I got another fucking plane. What's this, three since we started?
I guess maybe there are more flights now that more people are getting vaccinated.
Yeah, I hate it.
Didn't you just say that you think you couldn't live without it?
Yeah, but this is still excessive. I remember when I was streaming, it was like at this time. It was like it was there was like what 50 something planes
Oh, wow.
at this time of day on a Sunday. I forgot what I was gonna say now, fucking plane.
So we were talking about Dracula and Lisa and their resolution.
Oh, I remember. I was talking to Two Beards about this before we actually went through the whole thing, and it was like he was saying the way the games are set up, there's different protagonists. And that even though their story's done, they could technically go back in and do another protagonist from a Castlevania game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
I would be into that if they could do it well. But which like they've already proven they could do this kind of thing well. But just I want to see more from this group of creatives. I would rather watch more Castlevania than Blood of Zeus, which is something else that they have done. Like there are good parts of it, but it's very hard to look at. Like it has that thing where it like it seems like it's missing frame rates and things are like all stuttery and it's not fluid or smooth. It's like I said, it's hard to look at.
I feel that you're very sensitive to those sorts of things.
It's so ugly, and it's like when I can look at something that looks like Castlevania, why would I want to look at something that looks like that?
Yeah, but it's not about just like what it looks like, it's about the
If I'm
story,
going
right?
to commit 40 hours to it, I'd rather look at something that looks good, or I'll just read a book instead.
Well, maybe they'll make a novelization of it.
Maybe. Because like in that format, it's like part of the pleasure, the enjoyment is looking at it. Which is, oof, God, like I challenge whoever's listening to watch an episode of Blood of Zeus and come back and let me know your thought. It's like we watched this whole thing yesterday for you, and I watched it like over the course of a couple days by myself, or me and No Gun. I couldn't do that with Blood of Zeus. Like that took us like weeks because it's that hard to look at. Like you can't marathon it.
Is the story also bad?
I honestly, it's not as engaging as this one because I don't remember what it was. I think it's like essentially a guy that's Zeus's kid with a human. And I can't remember what his goal is other than trying to stay alive. And of course, Hera is getting in the way and doing what she does. And that's pretty much it. Like it's kind of cookie cutter-ish, but it is what it is.
I would just hope that, like, because they did a good job writing for this one, that they would have similarly done a good job writing for the other one.
I don't know if they have the
Otherwise, like,
same
I don't know.
I don't know if they have like the same director or writers on it. I know it's the same animation team and character designer. Like I didn't look that deeply into it. I just saw, oh, this looks similar. Let me give this a shot, and then I regretted it.
So, you agree with what I said earlier about like satisfying character arcs are a necessity, and I don't know if you totally agree with the happy endings thing, but you at least partially agree with it. Like, do you think that there are any other things that Castlevania did that other like writers should try to emulate?
I gotta think about it. I don't know. I mean, I got another plane.
We'll take the time to think.
Well, the number one thing that comes into my head is how, through another conversation with Two Beards, he was letting me know that people were upset that this did not stick strictly to the story of the game, which is like, number one, this is like a 30-year-old game, and we all know stories from games at that time were not the greatest.
Yeah, that's a bizarre complaint.
They just wanted something to complain about. But I feel like this should have been in our, I guess because neither of us really has that much experience with it, but it could have easily fit in our adaptation episode as a good example of it. Because it's like it doesn't stick strictly to the source material, but I feel like it borrows enough from it and it's a compelling enough story that, you stay around. Like, even it, like, I'm pretty sure even those people were complaining, they probably watched all of it. I just feel it's just really good storytelling. Like, I was very invested from beginning to end about these three people. And, like, I was like, confused about how they were, like, as I was watching it, how they were going to extend it. I was like, oh, well, Dracula's dead. What else are you going to do now? But what they produced was interesting enough. Like, even though, like I said, season three was more like of a cutting through the knot hole kind of season, it was still pretty good. I wouldn't say skip it. Like, if you haven't watched it at all, like, you have to watch all of them all the way through.
There's only 4 seasons, so it's not that big of a commitment.
And that's all I can come up with right now.
Well, what are some other TV shows that you think have done a really good job, in terms of narrative and character?
Well, you know where I'm gonna say The Witcher, but I'll say that for later. And I feel like I talked about that in the adaptation episode a fair amount. I could be wrong. But another show that was surprisingly good as far as narrative and character arc was this anime that's a couple years old now called Morabito, Guardian of the Sacred Spirit, and I have a plane. I wonder if I should keep this in. Just all of me talking about planes. Okay. So if you haven't seen that show, it follows, I can't remember her name. Let me look it up real quick. Like, I want to call her someone from Berserk's name, and I know that's not right.
I thought it started with like a B.
Balsa, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I remembered.
Yeah. It follows this female bodyguard named Balsa, who gets charged by a royal consort to take care of her son. Because it's like in this world that they live in, there's like essentially supernatural things do happen, just not often. And the son is, what is it? He has like a, it's like a, essentially like another dimension. And like some creature from another dimension like lays an egg in him.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it's like fucking everything up. And everyone just sees everything's fucking up and they think it's something wrong with him, like he's cursed or something, and they want to kill him, even though he's like a crown prince. And
And a child.
and a child. He's like 10. And he has like an older brother, and they felt like they could get rid of him, get rid of Chagum, because the brother is there, but the brother's sickly. And I think he also ends up dying, like throughout the course of the show. And then they want to get Chagum back from her and all this. And like during their time together, Balsa figures out what's wrong with him and she goes and tries to get his situation sorted out so he can have a normal life. When did this come out? Oh God, it's so old.
I was gonna say it's like a while.
2007. Oh
But
God. I didn't
you
watch it in 2007, but it was still,
could have.
I could have. It was a long time ago though. But yeah, you see changes in Chagum, you see changes in Balsa, you see changes in their world around them. It's also very enjoyable.
What makes it enjoyable?
I like the fantasy setting that is not steeped in European fantasy, and I fucking love Balsa because she's so badass. Like, when I say she's a bodyguard, she's a bodyguard. She's a bigger lady. She uses a staff. She kicks people's ass with it constantly. Like, that's throughout the whole show. And like, as you would imagine, like, being that position, she's not very soft or free with her emotions, but that's a change that comes throughout the show. Chagum, he's like a prince, so he's kind of spoiled and like a little shit. But when he, as he comes to realize the predicament he's in, he see changes in him. It's just watch it.
So again, kind of like meaningful sort of character arcs
Yes.
is what you're pointing out here.
I'd say this is easily top three anime for me. top five shows.
Really?
Overall. Yeah. If I could find it, I would watch it again. I should probably just buy it.
Well, any other shows come to mind?
No. I mean, other than The Witcher, but you can talk about a show for a little bit.
Well, whenever I think about, like, what is, like, a perfect show, like, still, to me, all these years later, I feel that Avatar is the perfect show. Like, I love the characters. I love the character arcs that they have. I think that it has, like, the definitive, like, redemption arc in there with Zuko.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, like, unparalleled. like, it's, I mean, it's still, you know, it has, like, happy endings. Like I really liked the way that they treated, like, Azula and how, like, you know, she's extraordinarily intelligent, extraordinarily capable, but she suffered under the abuse of their father, just like Zuko did.
Mm-hmm.
But she just came out of it in a different way. And so I just thought it was really, like, interesting to see how she, like, at the end, like, she was, you know, it's sad, like, she's broken, but it, like, I think that's the important part, is that it is so sad. Like, you see her, like, when she's, like, screaming and crying, and it's like you can't help but feel compassion for her and, like, everything that she's gone through to bring her to this point. Like, even though she has done, like, some really shitty things.
Mm-hmm.
And if they let her go, she would continue to do really shitty things. But it was just, like, you could just see, like, the effects that her childhood had had upon her. And, like, in a way, like, she also, like, wasn't responsible for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she still is, like, I mean, maybe she was, like, well, she was, like, younger than Zuko, right? And Zuko was, like, 17, so maybe she was, like, 16 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still a child. And so just, like, you know, worthy of our compassion. And I thought that was really important for a show to do, especially a kid's show.
He's 2 years old than her.
Okay, so she's, like, what, 15?
Like, 14, and he's 16.
Oh, okay. I thought he was 17 for some reason. The only thing that I didn't really like, although I understood why they did it, was, like, the whole, like, Deus Ex Machina at the end with the lion turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, I just think that it could have been done better if they had, like, more hints of that throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like it was, you know, building up to something rather than it just being like, surprise! Like, here's this thing that solves all of your problems. Which is just, like, it seemed really clunky to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I understood why they did it, because it was still, at the end, a kid's show, and they couldn't have Aang kill that guy. Like, it just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
And I would have been more annoyed, I think, if they had done, like, the, you know, like, the cliche that they have in, like, kids' movies and stuff, where it's, like, the villain's, like, hanging over a cliff or something, and then, like, the hero's like, take my hand! And the villain's like, no. And, like, falls to their death. Like, that's just so, so boring. So, I mean, they could have done that. I'm glad that they didn't. And then, like, I was reading someone's thoughts on that as well. And they were saying that that they kind of liked the way that it was done because, like, they liked that Aang was given a non-lethal way out because, like, that was, like, the driving ethos of his people. Mm-hmm. were that they were pacifists. And so, like, they liked Aang being able to, like, keep the traditions of his people alive in that way.
Mm. I get that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't like that he did it that way, but I understand it from a narrative standpoint.
Like, the only thing that I would wish, like I said, is if they had built a little bit more support for the lion turtle earlier in the seasons.
They probably didn't think of it until the end.
Yeah, probably. They were like, okay, so what, we're going to have this kid kill this man?
That's probably exactly it. Like, the execs are like, nah, you can't do that. You got to walk that back, take that back in that room, and think it over. Do it again.
Yeah. Okay, so like the other thing that I don't like, I like a lot of the show, and I don't know why I'm talking about the things that I don't like.
That's what we do
But
here.
like, yeah, like the other thing that I don't like, and I'll probably get shit for this, is I don't like that Katara ended up with Aang.
100%. I agree.
It's just no. It like I didn't like the two of them together. And it's just like I feel that like so many times over the series, she's like, "You're nice, but like as a little brother." And so it's just like it seemed also kind of like out of left field that they switched that up. And he was like so young. He was just like a baby. It was like
Yeah.
gross.
Well, if he grows up and it's just like, fuck this, nah, never mind. But it's like, I hate that thing where it's like essentially he wears her down. Like you could say, oh, she started to see him a different way. It's like, but they're like 11 and like 14. Come on.
Yeah, it's gross. There's like, I mean, if they were like both in their 20s with that age difference, then, it's not a big deal at all. But it's like, there's a big difference between 11 and 14. Absolutely huge. And so it's just like, no, hard pass. Don't like it.
It's kind of nasty. It's kind of gross. They weren't thinking that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't have minded it if it's like, oh, we're together now in a little kid relationship and it didn't endure like 60 years into Korra.
Yeah. Or I mean, just like I just don't even think that they needed to even be like in any sort of
Romantically.
relationship. Yeah,
Yeah.
you just like I mean, there
You
could be
can
like maybe
exist
a
without
hint
that.
of it, like you could maybe imagine the two of them at some point getting together in the future, but like at this point, like no, because they're babies.
Just like they rolled back him killing the Fire Lord, they should have rolled that back.
Yeah, they should have definitely rolled that back. But I mean, there are just so many characters to love in that show. Like, I mean, I love Uncle Iroh. Like, I love the whole gang. Like, I love them all. Like, I love a lot of like the side characters. They're just super fun, and like the jokes still hit, honestly. Like, even after all of these years, like I watched it again recently and I was like still laughing. It was just like a funny, silly show. But it also like deals with a lot of really like deep and interesting topics. And so like especially for a kid's show, I think that it was just like really well done. Like I think that they deal with a lot of things that are like fairly mature topics, but they deal with a lot of like fairly mature topics, but like are able to approach them in a way that, they actually can treat them in this type of a show. So like for me, like the things that make that show really good, like again, like the strong theme throughout, like I love the character development, I love the characters themselves, and I love that there are happy endings.
Why do people not want to do happy endings?
I think that because they think it's deeper. Like tragedy is like more real, it's more raw. Like
So
happy
no one is
endings
happy.
are
Everything's
like
tragic all the time.
I think they just make it they think that it makes them like more like I said like deeper, like and like more like intelligent, like to deal with like the complexities of human suffering or something like that. But like at a certain point, it's like it just becomes boring. It's just like I'm gonna watch like another of like the 5 billion shows that are out there that are basically just like torture porn, like both physically and emotionally. Like, why would I want to do that? Like, what could you possibly have to add to this conversation?
Was gonna say like Game of Thrones, essentially.
Yeah, and it's like what we were talking about the other day about like how. Like this has been like this way for like a while, but like especially recently with the past several years, with like everything just being garbage all the time, it's like, do I really want to then like watch a piece of media where like everything is also garbage there all the time? I feel that at this point, like happy endings are like the radical stance to take now. It's like It's like, no, like I've seen enough of suffering. Like I don't need to see it anymore. Like I need something to aspire to, not something that's going to drag me back down from like the muck that I exist in every single fucking day.
I feel like they don't think about that at all. They really should. Like, in that way. Like, when they set out to make these shows that are just meant to crush you. Because I feel like
I
that's.
think it's also, oh,
Oh.
go ahead, go
I said,
ahead.
no, you got it.
Well, I was just gonna say something very simple. I think it's also awards bait.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Because they think that's what it takes. And maybe award shows should not reward that so much.
Well, I talked about my show. Did you want to finish up by talking about The Witcher?
I suppose. Well, The Witcher, I feel, is a different category unto itself because it's not finished yet. Like, it has good
Yeah.
bones so far.
It could still disappoint us.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that it doesn't.
You're not gonna rush out and name your future baby Witcher?
No, Geralt, no. Might name a pet, but not a child.
All those people naming their baby like Khaleesi or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet summer children.
It's I don't know, it's bizarre. I don't understand why do that.
Well, for like a show that's not complete, too. It's like we were talking about this before. Like, I just feel it's like it's their first rodeo. Like, they've never been disappointed by something before, and that's sad.
Yeah.
Like, they made like a monumental decision, and they just didn't have enough life experience yet to know that there's a strong chance that it will bite them in the ass.
I guess you live, you learn. Like, don't do these things until it's over. Like, I don't regret my Mass Effect tattoo, because, like, my issue, like, my tattoo is for Thane specifically. And it's like, my issue is not with him as a character, it's what they did with the character. But I had something I was gonna say about The Witcher. Well, so what do you feel is a good point of The Witcher? Like, as far as, like, the potential.
Really interesting characters, interesting and fun characters. Like I am invested in their futures.
I agree. I'm interested in them. I'm interested in where it's going. Like, I played the third game, so I know technically where it's going, but I'm interested in how they get from where they are in the show to where we are in the game, even though I'm pretty sure they changed up the ending for the game and series part in it.
I also really like the way that the characters interact with each other. Like, the way that Geralt and what's his face? Not Dandelion, that's his name of the game.
Yaskir.
Yes. Like I love their like banter back and forth. I love like Yennefer and Geralt's relationship, even though it's weird. Like, and I just like I love like the side characters too. Like they're all fun.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just
Hate
thinking,
Mousesack though. Fucking hate that
no.
name.
Moosak, not mouse. Like, that's what it looks like, Mousesack, but that's not how you say it.
It's Mousesack.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's the takeaway from this episode. Good TV has good characters with good arcs and good chemistry
And happy
and
endings.
happy endings. Are they required? Like, honestly, like, I definitely prefer happy endings to sacrifice endings. Like, I'm sick to death of sacrifice. Like, I never really like sacrifice endings. I accept them because that's what I'm given most of the time, except for Mass Effect. But just in general, I always feel like there has to be another way out. Like, I'll take a sacrifice ending if they can point, like, lead up to there being absolutely no way out. But I always feel like when I'm watching these shows, there's another way. You're just not doing it. Why aren't you doing it?
Yeah. I guess like sometimes I guess sometimes a sacrifice ending can be satisfying narratively. And like honestly, like the only example I can think of that where I was satisfied with the ending was it was not a TV show. It was that game, Fatal Frame 2. where it's like there are actually multiple endings for that one, but like one of the endings is canon. And the canon ending is the sacrifice ending. So it's like with that, like the story of the game is, and it's like a hella old game, so like spoilers abound, but like also it's like hella old. It's like for PlayStation 2. So like the story is that you, there's like these two sisters, these two twin sisters, and they are out in the woods like playing around or whatever. And they stumble across this like ghost village. And then they're trapped in the ghost village. And like you play the younger twin, but she is like the more like assertive twin. So even though like they, you know, they, I guess like traditionally you would think that like the younger twin is like maybe like the meeker one or something like that, but it's the opposite. It's like the elder twin is like a little, like a little physically weak, like she's like a little sickly, and like she's definitely like more like soft and like weak-willed. And so you play the younger one, and like shortly after you get into the village, your sister is like lured away by this vision of this crimson butterfly. And so then you spend the majority of the game trying to find her and reunite with her and get the fuck out of the village. And it's super fun. You get to play, like, you get to fight a lot of ghosts, but your only weapon is a camera, and you have to take pictures of the ghosts, and you have to wait until they're, like, fucking right in your goddamn face. Like, you can't, like, take pictures from far away. You have to wait till they're about to, like, kiss you or something like that, and then you can take the picture. So it's super scary and stressful, but it's a fun game. So it's like over the course, like you find out like the whole like reason for the village's existence was that like a long time ago, like this village had this ritual where they appeased this like demonic entity in the mountain with like a sacrifice of twins, like every so often. And so it's like, it's not just that they would take twins there and like kill them both, but that one twin had to kill the other. And then the dead twin was dead. And then the other twin got to just like chill and hang out for the rest of his or her life. And the, by that, doing that, then the demonic entity would be appeased. And so like forever ago, like there were these twins, these twin sisters, and they, you know, they were supposed to do the ritual, but they couldn't. Like, they, you know, one of the twins didn't want to kill the other one, and the other twin also did not want to die. And so they decided to get the fuck out of Dodge. And so they ran away, and that, like, fucked everything up. And, like, the village was taken by the demonic entity and, like, plunged into, like, this ghost state where, like, everyone is just, like, reliving that night over and over again. And it's just awful for everyone involved. And so, like, the only way to break the curse is essentially for this new set of twins to perform that ritual. And so that's why that's the canon ending, where, like, the canon ending is that you do it. You kill your sister. And then the like, cycle is broken, and all of the villagers' souls are freed, and your sister is dead, and you are still alive. And it sucks for you, but, like, you freed the village, sort of deal.
Is this your village, though?
Yeah, it's just a ghost village.
Well, fuck them, then. Forget that.
Well, that's one of the options. Like, there are actually a couple of different endings. One of the endings, which is, like, it's a game over ending. Like, you have this opportunity, like, you're going through the mountain, and you're on your way to like, the final confrontation. And you notice that there's this other path that you could take that leads out of the village. And so you have the option. Yeah. You'd be like, bye.
Do you take your sister with you? You leave her?
No. Yeah.
Oh, that's shady.
And so you just fucking hightail it. And it's a game over. Like, they were like, you suck. The other ending, is and I think like you could only do this like in a new game plus, so it's like, you know, you get the sacrifice ending for like the canon ending, and then you play the game over again and you can unlock this other ending, which is You, the elder sister, or the younger sister, you look into the abyss, as it were, and your eyesight is taken from you, you're blinded by it because it's so horrific. And then your sister finally grows a spine and takes you out, and so leads you out, and then it shows you at the end. And you're still blind, so, you're never gonna see again. And she's leading you around.
That's pretty terrible too. Are they
Yeah, it
all
does
terrible
suck. But
endings?
that's supposed to be kind of if you want to think about the happy ending, both sisters are alive. And they made
One
it.
just blinded
They
by
just.
sheer terror.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise she seems fine. It was just her eyesight was taken from her, she can't see anymore.
Maybe it's like Hank Hill, it's just hysterical blindness. It'll come back.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason why I like the canon ending is just because I just like it narratively. It's certainly not a happy ending, but it's it's you broke the curse sort of deal. So it's like I kind of like I like that. I remember being satisfied by it.
All right, so we have any I feel like I started final thought earlier. I, as per usual, I feel like I started final thought earlier and then we think of something else and we go on for like another 10 minutes. So that's this week's episode, folks. Let us know what you think about our breakdown of Castlevania. Have you watched it? Did you love it? Are there any shows that you enjoy, like not flawless but close to it? Let us know on our social media and we'll see you next week.
You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com, and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.